I'm Dr. Edward Jauch, an emergency physician at the University of Cincinnati, a member of the Greater Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Stroke Team, and a member of the writing committee for the 2007 Guidelines for the Early Management of Adults with Ischemic Stroke. Guidelines for the Management of Spontaneous Intracerebral Hemorrhage in Adults, 2007 Update, a guideline from the American Heart Association. The 2007 American Stroke Association ICH guideline paper, again with the primary author of Joseph Broderick, is the first update from the 1999 guidelines. At the time the first American Heart Association guideline for the management of spontaneous ICH were published in 1999, only 5 small randomized medical trials and 4 small surgical trials existed. In the past 6 years, 15 pilot and larger randomized medical and surgical trials for ICH have been completed or ongoing. These are in addition to the recently completed Phase 3 trial of recombinant activated factor 7A. Despite the completion of these newer trials, further Phase 3 studies are required. EMS. Because of the difficulty in differentiating ICH from acute ischemic stroke by clinical measures, emergency medicine personnel will likely triage and transport patients with ICH and ischemic stroke to the same hospital. ICH remains a medical emergency, with frequent early ongoing bleeding, progressive deterioration, severe clinical deficits, and subsequent high mortality and morbidity rates, and should be promptly recognized and diagnosed. Emergency diagnosis and assessment of ICH. Rapid recognition and diagnosis of ICH are essential because of the frequently rapid progression during the first several hours. Most patients with ICH will enter the healthcare system through the ischemic stroke pathway, since clinical presentation alone, although helpful, is insufficient to readily differentiate ICH from other forms of stroke. The classic presentation includes the onset of sudden focal neurologic deficits while the patient is active, and which progress over minutes to hours. CT and magnetic resonance are each first-choice initial imaging options. In patients with a contraindication to MRI, CT should be obtained. CT imaging remains the gold standard for most centers. CT angiography, while not in the current guidelines, may become a tool to identify patients at risk for hemorrhagic expansion, thus identifying patients at risk for deterioration and patients who may be suitable for hemostatic therapies. CT imaging has also clarified the natural history of ICH. It has become very clear that hemorrhage growth continues over the first several hours from symptom onset. Hematoma growth is associated with nearly a 5-fold increase in clinical deterioration, poor outcome, and death. When methods are developed to prevent or limit hematoma expansion, it is clear that they will be administered early, likely in the emergency department. The new guidelines also recommend diagnostic tests similar to that used in ischemic stroke. Prothrombin time and INR are especially essential in ICH. Medical treatment of ICH. The early risk of neurologic deterioration and cardiopulmonary instability in ICH is high, so the emergency medicine physician must frequently reassess patients with ICH. Basic physiologic management first focuses on the ABCs. This includes rapid sequence intubation when appropriate, maintaining normal capnia unless increased ICP is present, and maintaining an optimal cerebral perfusion pressure. Blood pressure management remains largely unchanged, while several ongoing trials may provide insight to optimal blood pressure management in ICH. Little new additional data became available since the last guideline. New to the guideline is the mention of nicardipine. Nicardipine joins labetalol, enalapril, and nitroglycerin as options in the current guidelines for blood pressure management in ICH. Treatment of elevated ICP should also include a balanced and graded approach that begins with simple measures, such as elevation of the head of the bed, analgesia, and sedation. More aggressive therapies to decrease elevated ICP, such as osmotic diuretics, drainage of CSF, via ventricular catheter, neuromuscular blockade, and hyperventilation, generally require concomitant monitoring of ICP and blood pressure. Thus, these patients should be admitted and transferred to an ICU setting emergently. Evidence indicates that persistent hyperglycemia, again greater than 140 mg per deciliter, during the first 24 hours after stroke is associated with poor outcomes. Thus, it is generally agreed that hyperglycemia should be treated in patients with stroke. The guidelines for ischemic stroke suggest that elevated glucose concentrations of greater than 185 mg per deciliter and possibly as low as 140 mg per deciliter should trigger administration of insulin, similar to the procedure in other acute situations accompanied by hyperglycemia. Use of these guidelines for ICH as well is reasonable. The result of ongoing research should clarify the management of hyperglycemia after ICH. Seizures are not uncommon in patients with ICH, especially those in lobar locations. Appropriate anti-epileptic therapy should always be used for treatment of clinical seizures in patients with ICH. Hematoma-targeted therapies. Hemostatic therapies. With the recognition that most hematomas expand in the first several hours from onset, there was great enthusiasm and hope for the first potential hemostatic therapy. Treatment with recombinant factor 7a within the first 3 to 4 hours after symptom onset slows the progression of bleeding and shows promise in one moderate-sized phase 2 trial. However, the efficacy and safety of this treatment must be confirmed in phase 3 trials before its use in patients with ICH can be recommended outside the setting of a clinical trial. Recommendations for surgical approaches. Since the last ICH guidelines were published in 1999, the large stitch trial failed to show benefit of routine surgical evacuation. While the study has several methodologic issues, it remains the largest to date and significantly influenced the new guidelines. Understanding which patients may be surgical candidates will assist the emergency medicine physician in contacting the appropriate specialists. Patients with cerebellar hemorrhages greater than 3 centimeters who are deteriorating neurologically or who have brainstem compression and or hydrocephalus from ventricular obstruction should have surgical removal of the hemorrhage as soon as possible. Otherwise, the routine evacuation of supratentorial ICH by standard craniotomy within 96 hours of ictus is not recommended. Recommendation for the management of ICH related to anticoagulation. What is essential for the emergency medicine physician is identifying and reversing anticoagulation-associated ICH. The incidence of OAT-related ICH is expected to increase by an order of magnitude over the coming decade, and the resulting ICH are far more severe and hematoma expansion can occur over 24 hours. Since many patients with ICH are transferred to tertiary care centers, it is critical that reversal strategies be started before transfer. Protamine sulfate should be used to reverse heparin-associated ICH, with a dose depending upon the time from cessation of heparin. Patients with warfarin-associated ICH should be treated with intravenous vitamin K to reverse the effects of warfarin and with treatment to replace clotting factors. Prothrombin complex concentrate, factor 9 complex concentrate, and recombinant factor 7a normalize the laboratory evaluation of the INR very rapidly and with lower volumes of fluid than FFP, but with greater potential of thromboembolism. FFP is another potential choice, but is associated with greater volumes and much longer infusion times. Disposition remains largely unchanged and seems self-evident. Monitoring and management of patients with an ICH should take place in an intensive care unit setting because the acuity of the condition, frequent elevations in ICP and blood pressure, and frequent need for intubation, and multiple complicated issues. This level of care may exceed that available at some hospitals, and even those that meet the criteria for primary stroke centers. Thus, each hospital that evaluates and treats stroke patients should determine whether the institution has the infrastructure and physician support to manage patients with moderate and large-sized ICH. Otherwise, these patients need to be transferred to a tertiary care hospital with the appropriate resources. Recommendations for withdrawal of technological support is new to the guidelines. Because withdrawing life-sustaining support is the most common immediate cause of death in ICH, the early use of DNR orders biases predictive models to make ICH outcome look worse than it is if full care was provided. Although physicians may concur on the appropriate circumstances for DNR and ICH, these decisions are based on these prediction papers that do not account for the early use of DNR. This again implies that the overall aggressiveness of ICH care at a hospital is critically important in determining patients' outcomes. We recommend careful consideration of aggressive full care during the first 24 hours after ICH onset and postponement of new DNR orders during that time. Patients with previous DNR orders are not included in this recommendation. In all cases, physicians and nurses caring for ICH patients who are given DNR status should be reminded that the designation relates only to the circumstances of cardiopulmonary arrest and that patients should receive all other appropriate medical and surgical interventions. Key summary points. The first scientifically proven treatments for acute ICH are likely to become a reality during the next 5 years and possibly sooner. New trials of antihypertensive therapy, surgical removal of ICH, and other adjunctive therapies are ongoing, but sustained efforts are needed to decrease the high morbidity and mortality rates associated with this deadly form of stroke. The emergency medicine physician is an essential component in the identification, stabilization, and likely acute intervention of patients with ICH. This concludes the review of the Guidelines for the Management of Spontaneous Intracerebral Hemorrhage in Adults, 2007 update, a guideline from the American Heart Association.